The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show, the final show of the week. Friday is upon us, and we have a lot to get to for this final program. An important anniversary today. I'll come to that here in just a moment. And hopefully later in the show, we'll have a little extra time, finally, for some email feedback. I want to draw your attention to my father's program. For this weekend, the new Throne of David, that of course will be advertising the brand new book that came out just a few weeks ago, the new Throne of David book. He talks in this program about the United States and Britain and prophecy and how that for 70 years, Herbert W. Armstrong proclaimed, well, and we did after he died in 1986, that Throne of David was in London, England. And all of that changed in January of 2017. So some electrifying prophecy, some electrifying revelation that'll be playing all over the world this weekend. It's at the website now. I don't know if it's posted in the top slot. It will be soon, if not. But if you look at on my father's page on the website or just the Key of David page on the website, you can get to that. It'll be featured, though, more prominently through the weekend. So exciting stuff there. You can all be praying for a great response to my father's newest program, The New Throne of David. Well, just to update you on the events in Germany, there are a number of sources now, a number of news outlets that are wondering if Angela Merkel's demise is, as Politico says, tearing Europe apart. Politico says, dear Angela Merkel, after nearly 13 years as chancellor, the only thing Europe has left for you is animosity. Some strong statements coming from Politico. It's actually quoting a correspondent at the broadcaster ARD and how that comment did create some waves in Berlin this past week. BuzzFeed, for its part, is talking about if Merkel falls, that Europe will fall with her. The European Union risks spinning toward chaos. That's the way BuzzFeed puts it. I mean, there's a lot of leaders who, as much as they see Merkel going or on the way out, they at the same time can't really fathom the EU without Merkel in power. It would be the perfect crime, it says, an assisted suicide of Europe. That's according to a former senior government official. Assisted suicide, another diplomat from a G7 country says, the hypothesis of Merkel falling is something that instinctively I try not to think about. It would be extremely worrying because should she go, it would inevitably have been caused by a shift to the right of her CDU-CSU alliance. So big changes are happening. And again, if you contrast this with what many were saying just 18 months ago, when Donald Trump was elected as the president of the United States, one daily publication in Germany said that Merkel had suddenly become the most important leader of the free and democratic liberal world. Mr. Trump's a loose cannon, so Merkel's got to take the lead, we were told 18 months ago. There was another columnist who said at the time, this was at the time of the U.S. election in late 2016, I'm tempted to say that the leader of the free world is now Angela Merkel. And before that, I mean, she was the Times Person of the Year. She was the most popular politician in the world. Now, what publication was out there when she was getting all of these rave reviews, all of this praise, when she was the person of the year, What publication was telling you, look, it's not going to last? It is not going to last. Big changes are coming in Europe, in Germany. Well, let me take you back to March of 2016. This is what, 6, 7, 8 months before the U.S. presidential election. And here's what we had at the Trumpet magazine. It says, Angela Merkel's government refuses to give serious attention to these concerns, speaking about the migrants, the immigration and such, and refuses to tell the truth about the impact the migrants are having and will have on the nation. It says, if she continues to do this, Germany's chancellor risks helping transform the German people and Germany itself into something very different and much more frightening than the democratic, peaceful, friendly nation we see today. That was the Trumpet telling you that this was just a ticking time bomb. Never mind what the Times is saying. Never mind what all of these commentators are saying, that she's now the leader of the free world. Let's keep our minds in prophecy. Let's go to the Bible and see what God says about the heart of Europe. The seventh and final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire. As we wrote in the Trumpet more than 2 years ago, don't be deceived by the images of Germans embracing the migrants, of Germany's chancellor making, or Germany's chancellor making the cover of Time magazine as person of the year. We said, all is not well in Germany. It's not well, no matter what it might look like in 2015 or 16. Well, now we're here at 2018, and look at what they're all saying. Well, if she goes, all of Europe goes. At the Trumpet, we said common sense alone tells us an explosion is coming. But the Bible specifically warns us what will be the result. A radical change in German leadership. Now, when that happens, I mean, already, you have to look at the Trumpet and say, I mean, we need to give more attention to this on our programs. The Trumpet magazine. Because it's out ahead of the rest. It's telling you tomorrow's news today. All of this that's happening with Angela Merkel. And now what happens when the leader comes, when there's a dramatic or radical change in German leadership? Again, you can say the Trumpet told you first. The Bible prophesies, as you know, about a powerful leader to come right out of the heart of Europe, to head up the King of the North, Daniel 11, verse 40. This king of fierce countenance, as it says in Daniel 8, and this movement, This empire, this final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire, it's going to shake the world. That was all in that Trumpet magazine, all in that Trumpet article from March of 2016. And I can remember just from memory what Richard Palmer and Brad McDonald were writing in 2015 when those migrants were coming across by the hundreds of thousands. Listen to this Trumpet article, though. It says, Angela Merkel has been one of the most popular and successful post-war German chancellors. This is what we said in 2016, early on. During 2013, 2014, and the first half of 2015, her approval level generally hovered around 70%. She has been exactly the leader Germans have wanted. For Germans to desire this new, stronger leader, there will have to be some big changes. Well, we're living in the midst of these big changes right now. We're seeing it happen right now. Bible prophecy being fulfilled. When we come back after a short break, we'll talk about another important anniversary that is today. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, you can send your comments to td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Are we living in the last days? Some dismiss the notion as fanatical, but world leaders and news analysts are issuing warnings that are becoming more and more dire. Could Bible prophecies about the last days actually be accurate? Our brochure can help guide you through the relevant news and history and help you compare these events to what the Bible says. Are we living in the last days? This brochure is available for free right now at thetrumpet.com. From the Philadelphia Church of God campus in Edstone, England, this is the Trumpet Daily Program with Stephen Flurry.
18 years ago today, after picking up my wife and newborn daughter, that's hard to believe, right at the end of the work day, we drove about 7 miles north in Edmond, Oklahoma, and we pulled off the road, off of Bryant Street, onto an open field. That's all that it was. The sun was setting. Oklahoma has such beautiful sunsets. And it was June 29th, so it wasn't too hot yet. And we got out of the car and we started walking across this open field with overgrown grass and some trees sprinkled around a little 7-acre lake. And I remember holding my baby and smiling a lot, and everything seemed so peaceful. And not long after we arrived, there were a few other cars that pulled up as well, and they pulled into the field, and they were slowly driving through the grass before parking their cars and then getting out. It kind of reminded me of a movie I'd seen back in college where this farmer built a beautiful baseball diamond in the middle of a cornfield in Iowa, I think it was. And people from miles around just drove up to see the field. We didn't have quite that many people show up, maybe 25 in total. And there was no beautiful baseball diamond on this Oklahoma field. There was nothing there. I mean, there was a certain natural beauty to it, but besides that, I mean, it was in need of some work. There were no roads. There was no real entrance to the property off the main road, certainly no buildings. Nothing was there. And yet there we were, 25 of us, just wandering around. Someone had brought champagne. We were toasting our champagne glasses, fellowshipping, laughing. And of course, we were envisioning what would be, what this field would become. And shortly after we visited that field, my father wrote this in the Trumpet magazine. He said, "I plan to start a small college in 2001, perhaps 2002. He said, "In June, the Philadelphia Church of God purchased 38 acres of land with a beautiful 3-acre lake." Well, 3 to 7 acres. Sometimes it fluctuates. That was the big announcement, though, in the Trumpet, in the Philadelphia News that same month. It had been mentioned that this 38 acres, that it might also be the site of a future television studio, an office building, an auditorium. This would be the site of future Philadelphia youth camps. And on top of all of that, of course, this new college. It was quite a lot to squeeze onto 38 acres. 38 acres with a small lake in the middle. Well, we later found out that it was an even 40 acres. We had the land surveyed when we purchased it, or in the midst of the purchase, I guess. 40 acres, and my father wrote a lengthy piece in, I believe it was Royal Vision, December of 2000, Royal Vision. And he talked about how that the original purchase of God's headquarters campus in Pasadena also started with a 40-acre plot of land. And in this personal, in the Royal Vision, my father, of course, goes through all of the times that 40 is mentioned in the Bible, a significant number. It appears in the Bible over and again. It was significant in the lives of David and Moses, the Israelites, obviously. And as he explained in this Royal Vision piece, he thought it was significant that this 40 acres, he thought it was significant because of the way that it all started for Mr. Armstrong in Pasadena, California. Switching back to the trumpet personal, my father said, at our college, we will teach our young people to open their minds to all the truth and to prove all things. And I mean proof that anybody should be able to see. We'll give them hope based on proof. Hope on this little Oklahoma field. My father said our aim will be to provide students with a well-rounded liberal arts education. We plan to have strong classes in history, journalism, music, nutrition, computers, television, television production, speech, leadership. This is what my father listed out there. Just a few weeks after buying the original 40 acres, we'll have a class on news analysis where students will be taught the true meaning behind world events. They'll see how world news is fulfilling Bible prophecy. Their Bibles will come alive as never imagined. He said, we also have the capacity to teach accounting, agriculture, English, Spanish, and some other basic classes. All of that, he was explaining all of that before we had even broken ground on anything. No roads, no buildings, nothing. No departments, no teachers, no students, no classes. I mean, it would be hard to fault those at the time who might have been critical of this endeavor. Or who would have thought, well, surely he's exaggerating. Well, it wasn't that long after that purchase, June 29th, the year 2000, when God's Work purchased an additional 120 acres, so now it's 160 acres of Oklahoma fields, lots of overgrown grass. And what was it all for? Well, Amos 9 and verse 11, it says that we were to raise up his ruins, as we've explained so many times before, to raise up what Herbert W. Armstrong built before he died. Which is why my father thought that connection was so important. 40 acres in Pasadena to begin with. And then 40 acres in Edmond, Oklahoma. 40 acres that very quickly became 160. Verse 12 of that same prophecy, Amos 9, that they may possess the remnant of Edom, and of all the heathen which are called by my name, says the Eternal, that does this. Edom and heathen, the heathen, it refers to the Laodiceans. And God said he would give the remnant, the possessions, the vessels, the goods. If you're going to do all of this building and this construction, then God surely is going to give you all of the materials, the teachings, the books and the booklets, Mystery of the Ages. We purchased the field in the year 2000 and, of course, won the court case, the lawsuit in 2003. And then all of that material, God gave it to his church, to his work. It's happened. It's happened. In that Royal Vision article from late 2000, it says, this is my father focusing in on the significance of 40 acres to begin with. He talks there about, again, the lesson that God wants us to remember. At a time when so many of God's people are forgetting the truth. He said in that article, how many of the Laodiceans remember the history of that 40 acres in Pasadena? How many Laodiceans remember the history of Elijah? He said, what a shameful disgrace for those who were educated by Mr. Armstrong and ought to know better. What a shameful end for 95% of God's people who have forgotten. He went on to explain how that God keeps emphasizing to remember what we were taught That's right there in the opening pages of Malachi's message. The first book that God's work produced. My father wrote that back in 1989. And look at how many Laodiceans have forgotten. All of them have. Look at what they could be part of today. Think about the hope that there was in that field, that little Oklahoma field in 2000. The vision. There was a reason we were sipping champagne and toasting to the future. It's amazing history when you look back on it. It was an exciting vision when you look back on that particular day, that particular evening. And when you thought about, okay, what's going to happen in the next few years? In the next 5, 10 years, in the next 18 years. Some illustrious history. In our discussion last night over William Manchester's book on Winston Churchill. Well, actually, we had touched on this the week before, how that Churchill in the late 30s, he was appealing to the people of Britain, saying that they needed a recovery of moral health. They needed to remember, in other words. They needed to remember. They had to relearn how to recognize evil, someone said at the time. They had lost their unshakable convictions, and they had to get it back. Churchill had to rally the troops, so to speak. And what's interesting, really, it's fascinating, is that even as the world was going dark at the time, the late 1930s, Churchill was furiously working on his book, The English-Speaking Peoples, History of the English-Speaking Peoples, and he had his mind just immersed into all of this glorious history from Britain's past, Great Britain, the Empire. And so when he's coming along pleading for Britain to recover, to rebuild, to get back to a state of moral health, I mean, he spoke and wrote with authority, because you look at some of that history, as I mentioned in the discussion we had last night, and you need this history. I mean, when the men of Munich were trying to appease Adolf Hitler, this was the history that they should have been grounded in. Churchill was. Queen Elizabeth, the defeat of the Spanish Armada in 1588, one of Britain's greatest military achievements in history. And you can look at that Manchester biography. You can Google it and read about what a different time it was. And even the leadership, Queen Elizabeth herself, the speech that she gave to rally the troops in this ongoing feud with Spain, she said to her military men, "I have always so behaved myself that under God I have placed my chiefest strength and safeguard in the loyal hearts and goodwill of my subjects. And therefore I am come among you, as you see, at this time, not for my recreation and disport, but being resolved in the midst and heat of the battle to live and die among you all, to lay down for my God and for my kingdom and my people, my honor and my blood, even in the dust." She said, "I know I have the body. I know I have the body, but of a weak and feeble woman. But I have the heart and stomach of a king." I mean, that's some kind of leadership. God and country. Another example I mentioned last night, Lord Nelson's prayer before the Battle of Trafalgar. That's in 1805, the ongoing Napoleonic Wars. And he prayed the night before, the day before, may the great God whom I worship grant to my country and for the benefit of Europe in general a great and glorious victory. For myself individually, I commit my life to him that made me, and may his blessing alight on my endeavors for serving my country faithfully. To him, to God, I resign myself. And the just cause which is entrusted to me to defend. Amen. Well, in that battle, the French and the Spanish lost 22 ships, and Britain lost none. Is this history important? Does it matter? Does it factor into any kind of recovery of moral health? Churchill and his supporters at the time in the late 1930s, they were saying that, look, we need to be re-educated. We need to raise the ruins of this history. We need to learn how to recognize evil all over again. I mean, what is good and what is evil? We need to regain our unshakable convictions. That's what was happening in 1989 when my father was fired, or in 1997 when we went to court to fight over Herbert Armstrong's literature, to obtain the rights to those writings. That's what was happening when we purchased that field 18 years ago today. It was all part of this recovery of moral health, this raising the ruins. Remember, God says, don't forget your history. Relive it. Hang on to it. Malachi 3 and verse 16, it says, then they that feared the Eternal spoke often one to another, and the Eternal hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him, for them that fear the Eternal and that thought upon his name. They speak one to another, and a book of remembrance is written. Their names are written into it. As my father says in Malachi's message, God remembers us because we remember him. We don't forget. In that November 2000 Royal Vision, my father said, why would God give us 40 acres today to build a college campus? Is it because we remember another college campus that began with 40 acres? We must see what God did through Mr. Armstrong and never forget it. The significance here is certainly not in the physical 40 acres. What God is concerned about is educating the entire world. God is preparing jewels, as it says in the next verse there in Malachi 3. He's getting us ready to educate the entire world. There was hope, not just for the 25 people there on that field 18 years ago. There was hope for the world in that Oklahoma field. Mr. Armstrong, Herbert Armstrong, he wrote an article back in 1978. Just to paraphrase, he talked about the places that he had traveled during his long ministry, the many places like in China and India where millions of people are starving, and the filth and the squalor that so many people live in daily, the degenerate condition. In sectors all over the world, the suffering millions, the people living in poverty, illiteracy, malnutrition. He says, when he saw some of these places, he wrote in that 1978 piece, I thought of the joyous world tomorrow that is coming, and immediately the question came to mind, how can abundant well-being be brought to these teeming, impoverished millions? And the answer was obvious, correct the cause, lack of right education. It all starts with education. It all starts with teaching, with learning. Just like I played for you in that clip yesterday with Ronald Reagan talking about learning and faith and freedom. You've got to have all of these pillars. But think about when these educational institutions are popping up all over the earth, just like one did 18 years ago in an Oklahoma field. Think about what this earth will be like when every young person has an opportunity to be brought up in those ways. I recorded a television program this morning about God's law and how that it makes us strong, and it makes us happy if we obey it, and it brings blessings and benefits into our lives. Moses brought this out in Deuteronomy 11. He told the Israelites, if you keep these commandments, I mean, you're going to be strong. I mentioned the section in How to Be an Overcomer. It's early on in the booklet. I forget which page, but my father has a section there, How to Be Happy. How to Be Happy. I mean, if you want these wonderful blessings, if you want these wonderful benefits, then obey God's laws. How many truly happy people do you see in the world today? You don't see that many. Well, you see them on that Oklahoma field. It's no longer a field, is it? It's the same with Edstone. What a wonderful way of life. The blessings of God's law, the power of God's Holy Spirit, the education, the learning, the faith, the freedom. Freed from captivity, freed from the clutches of the devil, so that we might obey God in faith. That December 2000 Royal Vision, my father said, if God gives us 40 acres, we can be sure there is a vision bound up in those 40 acres that should dazzle our minds. To educate the world, though, we first have to be educated. We've got to be able to grasp this vision. And as he goes on to explain, I mean, it's as you see from all the casualties around us, it's so easy to forget. It's so easy to lose sight of this vision. But if we stay with God, if we never lose this vision, then God will use us to educate the world. That's what those 40 acres were all about in North Edmond back in the year 2000. In truth, they were about educating the world. And look at what's happened in 18 years. There should be no doubt in your mind about where this is leading. 18 years, what a vision. We can't lose sight of it. He pointed out in that piece, my father did, that 40 is the number of trial and testing. He saw that with ancient Israel. And God's church, obviously, is being tried and tested today. And yet God says, that's okay. Just get busy, do the work, take the 40 acres, develop the campus, and then declare, amplify that message, send it out to the world, prophesy again, raise the ruins. He said, learn to fear God so you can be educated today, so you can take that education and teach the whole world in the world tomorrow. And then once they're educated, we'll go on out into the universe with this building program of God that is starting right here today on this 40 acres. God help us never to forget that. Yes, indeed, that's something that we don't ever want to forget. Remember the day of small beginnings, and then look at what's happened in just 18 years. Project ahead to 180 years from now. Or 18 centuries from now. 18 years, though. Look at what God has done. That little infant, by the way, the one that I was holding on that Oklahoma field, June 29th, 2000. She's now 18 years old. She's been living here in Edstone with our family for the past 3.5 years. And in 4 weeks, She's heading back to that Oklahoma field as a freshman at Herbert W. Armstrong College. That field today, of course, it's a thriving little community populated by hundreds of students, employees, and coworkers. Dozens of buildings, dormitories, the mail processing center, the Hall of Ad, the Hall of Administration, and of course the magnificent Armstrong Auditorium, the worldwide headquarters for God's work, the headquarters hub for God's college. And now Edstone is an extension of that college. And those excavation seasons in Jerusalem, an extension of that college. That's just 18 years worth. The start of it seems like just a few days ago in some ways. And yet you look back at that glorious history. 18 years. The first senior class in 2006. Drawing up plans for the auditorium around that same time. Breaking ground for the auditorium in 2008. Of course, backing up or a little ways from that, as I mentioned earlier, the tremendous victory in the lawsuit, 2003. The grand opening of the auditorium in 2010, all the exhibits that we've had in there. Well, we could go on and on, but what a field of hope. What a field of hope. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, you can send comments to td@kpcg.fm. When we come back, speaking of email, we'll finally get through some of the email feedback that's been coming in over the last couple of weeks. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
I'm speaking to you from our television studios in Pasadena, where I speak to the world as a voice crying out in the wilderness of modern religious confusion.
Herbert W. Armstrong was the world's leading televangelist and one of the most prominent religious leaders of the 20th century. Watched, read, and followed by millions worldwide. But his legacy of Bible-based humanitarianism came under attack after he died. The cabal of leaders who took control of the church he founded, after pledging to follow in his footsteps, methodically destroyed all he had built. Those who would stop them were silenced or excommunicated. This shocking story of betrayal and deception is told in Raising the Ruins. To learn more, please visit thetrumpet.com.
Now he said, this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed or preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come.
From the Philadelphia Church of God campus in Edstone, England. This is the Trumpet Daily Program with Stephen Fleury.
Some emails that have been coming in the last couple of weeks. This one here says, just a quick note to say how much I appreciated the TD about staying positive. It just so happens I listened to episode number 46 of Dwight Falk's Live by Every Word a few days ago, which covered a similar theme. It was nice to get a double dose of such encouragement back to back. In a world of increasing stress and pressure, it's good to hear such uplifting, hopeful teachings coming from God's work. So thanks again to you and all the KPCG.FM staff. It says, my family and I try to tune in to KPCG as often as we can each day, and I'm often listening to past podcasts as well while on the road traveling for work. It's such an awesome resource. Well, yes, so many of these programs are also available as podcasts. So you definitely can get your fill. Another one here says, is there nothing that says what disability, like the example of Charles Krauthammer, who did not allow disability to become his identity and still functioned so that none would know him as a disabled individual until they actually met him in a wheelchair. He was known for his profession and for what he did perform in using his God-given intelligence, and not for what movement was taken away from him, and not for what physical movement he could not perform. That's in reference to a program we had earlier this week. Another one here says, thank you for bringing us today's message, especially the part about point number one of the prayer outline. I desperately need to learn how to truly revere and honor and obey the Father. And the How to Pray booklet is awesome. I just have to try harder to really get it. It says, don't know what I'd do without the voices of sanity coming through KPCG. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This one from Saskatchewan says, the TD starts my day. It's the only way to stay connected to what's really going on in the world. And I love your Bible studies. Keep up the awesome work. From Texas, it says, I've been listening to the Trumpet Daily program for a while now, and I want to thank you ever so much for the hard work that you've been doing. And it's not just a few to thank, but everyone in your church, it says. It's a wonderful thing to get up in the morning and throughout the day to hear real truth. The tiresome lies and horrible violence that goes on every day is just terrible. A person would think that people could see that there's an evil spirit influencing world events. Thank God there is a work preaching the same gospel that our Lord Jesus preached. You're doing a good job, and I look forward every day to listen to and to watch at thetrumpet.com, a source of real truth. This one here says, this is in response to a conversation we had with Elat Mazar last week or the week before, I forget. It says, I don't know if it will happen, but I long to see the exhibit at headquarters. Sometimes I feel like David on the run, and I know God is working these molds of his into shape. Conversion is exhilarating. It's taking entirely too long, but I will be taking my first Bible correspondence course test soon. And the invigoration of writing out God's word as kings did anciently is sensational. How delightful it is to be called by the living God. Thanksgiving to all of you who feed the little flock and the great God who is empowering you. May God richly bless and lead you all. Another one here says, brilliant Monday episode. I'm never disappointed. Thank you for the great service you are providing. I'd like to make a brief comment on your topic regarding the so-called immigration disaster plaguing our president. On Father's Day, a family from out of town came to spend the day with us. A cousin of my aunt made comments about the cruel actions of Donald Trump and his quote-unquote policies regarding immigration. My aunt even called him the devil. I reminded her that these events are not new, and these are laws that were carried over from decades of previous presidents, including Barack Obama. She was surprised for a moment, but nevertheless unchanged in her stance, because everything she hears is about a one-sided attack on law. This one here, it says, I've been meaning to email you, and then today I listened to yesterday's program, The Battle is the Lord's, and I had to write because I was just studying Jehoshaphat yesterday and this morning. So when I heard you mention his name, I was happily surprised. What a great example of faith that he was, and I too thought his prayer was very moving. It reminded me of Solomon's when he dedicated the temple. Another program that I thought was especially powerful was How Important is Your Prayer Life? When you mentioned about Daniel being willing to die rather than not pray to God, even for 30 days, that really resonated. These are exciting times, it says, and God keeps motivating us to do more and press forward as we can so clearly see the day approaching with every news event. My daily prayers are that the messages on the Key of David and the Trumpet Daily live by every word. So glad that's back, she says. The Trumpet Bookshelf, great new show, will reach an even wider audience around the world. That one from Georgia, I believe. This one here says, I write to let you know that I think the show you did on bias, no bias, ranks at the level of Cronkite, Murrow, and Bruce, Lenny, that is. I had to Google that, so don't worry if you're not familiar with that last term. Lenny Bruce, you tell it like it really is, it says, and I hope and pray that you never stop doing that. America has had an immense problem for a very long time, as has the entire world. Keep up the excellent work. This one here from one of our friends in Oklahoma says, what jumps out to me as I learn more about this whole FBI thing, in addition to how close we got to losing the American Constitutional Republic, is that a lot of what the corrupt elements within the Justice Department did to ensure Trump lost, ironically, resulted in his victory. And a lot of what he did to ensure Clinton won, ironically, resulted in her loss. They wanted to get Trump, so they prioritized the Russian collusion investigation and delayed Clinton email probe, the Clinton email probe, and just days before the election, when it seemed like Clinton was sure to win, they brought up the Clinton email issue, not to harm Clinton, but to legitimize her once she became president. And then everything backfired. He says, if I understand this well enough, the irony of it all indicates to me more and more that God certainly had a strong hand in all of this, in the outcome of the election. It says, even the careless way they communicated seem to be a perfect example of Matthew 12:34. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Well, I think that is, he brings up some good points. And God, obviously, God's hand is the most important factor here. I heard one commentator the other day talk about just how lucky President Trump has been. You know, like he's in the right place at the right time. She was a terrible candidate. And then, you have in 2016, all this stuff happening, like just like we just read there in that email. Or you can look to the death of Antonin Scalia. And I think that aroused a lot of people in the Republican camp to get out there and to vote for Donald Trump, because I think they thought, we don't want another Ruth Bader Ginsburg on the Supreme Court. This is a crucial election. But look, the Bible tells us that it's God who sets up kings and who removes them. Colossians 1 says that God is the creator of thrones. God is the judge, it says in the Psalms. He puts down and then sets up another. Daniel 2 and verse 21 says, God removes kings and sets up kings. Those are comforting verses. Of course, we don't get involved in politics. We comment on politics, but we don't get involved. We don't have everything riding on this next Supreme Court justice. Who is it going to be? I sure hope it's this one. We'll watch. We'll analyze. We'll tell you what the Bible's perspective is. But we're here as ambassadors of another kingdom. This world's only sure hope, as I covered in the last segment. Here to teach the world. And so we teach. And we proclaim God's truth. And we disseminate all of this literature. And we give you God's perspective. That's the only perspective that counts. That's the only one that matters for everyone else in this world. I mean, yeah, the only way they can explain it is, how lucky was he? I mean, you imagine the luck. And now he's in office, and it looks like there might even be another Supreme Court justice seat available. And maybe two. all the luck, the Republicans are saying, thinking that they have all the answers to the problems of the United States. And meanwhile, you see the sharp, bitter, angry, hateful division between the two sides, as I played for you yesterday. You know that's coming again. This is not God's system. Certainly not. God's government is not on this earth, except on that little Oklahoma field, in God's work, in God's church, where there's a throne and a people being made ready to rule with Christ, to teach the world, to beautify the universe even. What a calling we have. What a vision. What a vision there is, even in something as seemingly insignificant as a 40-acre field in central Oklahoma. A few more emails here. This one says, just a quick hello and big thank you for all your hard work and God-given ability to just keep pouring out truth and living waters. How I want to absorb and integrate all of it into my life. I've already listened to Mr. Hilliker's show that you recommended. Hope everyone takes your advice. A must hear. Again, many thanks. That comes from Northwest Arkansas. This one here says, greetings. Just want to give a big two thumbs up on this morning's TD program. It was exceptionally clear and convincing, and in my estimation, on matters that are surely of interest to almost all who might listen. Many, I'm sure, are tuning in a bit more, even though they might have listened for a few minutes before and tuned out because they didn't like what they heard because of their deceived understanding. It's very intimidating at first to hear the truth for most people. But as events become more distressing, they will remember and come back to hear what's being said. So it's just great that you keep hammering away at the message. It says, I know it's very taxing physically and mentally for all involved, but that is what good soldiers do. The arsenal of material that men like you have produced through the years, when there was not nearly as much exposure as now, I'm very, very thankful for. It is the only chance I have of reaching my dear loved ones and just maybe pulling some of them out of the fire. Satan has stitched his web of deceit so deeply into the fabric of society that it's hard for people to even listen. But we know some will, and it's worth every hard-fought minute if we can pull even one out of the indescribable agony just around the corner. My supplications are continually with you to constantly find ways to connect with society in general on a level that will appeal to their interests and lead to an understanding of the gravity of the days that we live in. Once again, your hard work and dedication are very much appreciated. Some nice comments there. Another one here, very brief, says, never thought I would get interested in world news, but to know what's going on in the world and from a Bible outlook, I will not give it up. He's convinced. This one here, in response to the brief we had last week on George Washington, I just finished reading your article concerning George Washington, the father of our country. I heartily agree with you. It's truly tragic to see the so-called educational process that is occurring in our schools today. It's simply horrible. Without Washington's leadership, perseverance, sacrifice, and commitment to the founding of this God-blessed nation, there would be no nation. God placed this man in this position of leadership and authority to help in the founding of this country. How dare these educators have the gall to try to erase that? Yes, America has not been perfect. The issue of slavery and the Civil War was not our finest moment, but out of it came the opportunity for change for the better. Change does not happen overnight, but gradually things improve for those who had been enslaved. Thus, we now have opportunities for all races that we see today, I need to mention that I am black, a black American, and I thank Almighty God that he placed my ancestors in this God-blessed country. Nowhere else would I have the opportunity or freedoms that I have now. Let me repeat that. Nowhere else would I have the opportunity or freedoms that I have now. God has blessed this country immensely. How can one just throw this wonderful, rich history of blessings away? Thank you for your informative article. I'm truly thankful for you and your staff. Keep up the good work and keep fighting the good fight. Well, that seems like a good one to finish off with. Some wonderful comments from all of you. If you'd like to contribute, you can send emails to td@kpcg.fm. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. We're putting the finishing touches on another week of broadcasting here on KPCG. Thank you for joining us today, and we'll see you next week.